You're listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominey. Out Loud Bible Project is on a mission to read the entire Bible out loud in a conversational and approachable way, so you can recognize your part in this conversation between you and God.
This is the Out Loud Bible Project podcast, where we read the Bible out loud, as conversationally as we possibly can. I believe the Bible is a conversation between you and God, who loves you more than you know. So that's why we're here. So glad you're a part of it. Some exciting news. We've now increased the impact that you can have as a patron of Out Loud Bible Project. So when you join the Patreon community, not only will you make it possible to continue this podcast and other forms of sharing the Bible out loud, but we also will make a donation to the American Bible Society to get a Bible into the hands of someone across the world who doesn't even have access to a Bible. So super excited about that opportunity. Check out outloudbible.com and you can see all that's happening and you can learn how to support this project that way. So I'm excited to see what God does through that. We are in the book of Mark here. And when we started, I told you Mark wrote his biography like an action figure Jesus, right? And so we've been cooking through the book of Mark here. Believe it or not, in today's reading, we'll actually be entering into the last week of Jesus's life. It's gone by super fast, but Mark does zoom in at this point. So we've been boom, boom, boom all through the first 3 years of Jesus's ministry here. And now we're going to zoom in and get into a lot more detail of what Jesus went through and said in the last week of his life. So we're starting to see a big difference between how people treat Jesus, right? So on the one hand, you have the poor, the outcast, the rejected, and they love Jesus because he sees them and he makes time for them and he cares for them, right? But on the other hand, you have the religious leaders and those with power and others who have, for some reason, rejected what Jesus has to say. So the gap between these two groups is getting bigger and bigger, and everyone's either trying to praise him or trap him. So let's check out what happens here in Mark chapters 11 and 12. When they came near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go your way into the village that's opposite you, and immediately as you enter into it, you'll find a young donkey tied on which no one has sat. Untie him and bring him. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs him,' and immediately he'll send him back here." They went away and found a young donkey tied at the door outside in the open street, and they untied him. Some of those who stood there asked him, "What are you doing untying the young donkey?" They said to him just as Jesus had said, and they let them go. They brought the young donkey to Jesus and threw their garments on it, and Jesus sat on it. Many spread their garments on the way, and others were cutting down branches from trees and spreading them on the road. Those who went in front and those who followed cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that's coming in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Jesus entered into the temple in Jerusalem. When he had looked around at everything, it being now evening, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came to see if perhaps he might find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Jesus told it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem, and Jesus entered into the temple and began to throw out those who sold and those who bought in the temple, and overthrew the money changers' tables and the seats of those who sold the doves. He wouldn't allow anyone to carry a container through the temple. He taught, saying to them, "Isn't it written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations?' But you've made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the scribes heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the multitudes were astonished at his teaching. When evening came, he went out of the city. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away from the roots. Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Jesus answered them, Have faith in God, for most certainly I tell you, whoever may tell this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is happening, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore, I tell you, all things, whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you've received them and you shall have them. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your transgressions. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your transgressions. They came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him, and they began saying to him, By what authority do you do these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things? Jesus said to them, I'll ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. They reasoned with themselves, saying, Well, if we should say from heaven, he'll say, Why then did you not believe him? If we should say from men, they feared the people, for all held John to really be a prophet. They answered Jesus, We don't know. Jesus said to them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. He began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, and dug a pit for the winepress, built a tower, rented it out to a farmer, and went into another country. When it was time, he sent a servant to the farmer to get from the farmer his share of the fruit of the vineyard. They took him, beat him, and sent him away empty. Again, he sent another servant to them, and they threw stones at him, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. Again, he sent another, and they killed him, and many others, beating some and killing some. Therefore, still having one, his beloved son, he sent him last to them, saying, They'll respect my son. But those farmers said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. They took him, killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What therefore will the Lord of the vineyard do? He'll come and destroy the farmers, and will give the vineyard to others. Haven't you even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected was made the head of the corner. This was from the Lord. Is it marvelous in our eyes? They tried to seize him, but they feared the multitude, for they perceived that he spoke the parable against them. They left him and went away. They sent some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to him, that they might trap him with their words. And when they had come, they asked him, Teacher, we know that you're honest and don't defer to anyone, for you're not partial to anyone, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius, that I may see it. They brought it. He said to them, Whose is this image and inscription? They said to him, Caesar's. Jesus answered them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. They marveled greatly at him. Some Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection, came to him. They asked him, saying, A teacher, Moses wrote to us, If a man's brother dies, and leaves a wife behind him, and leaves no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. There were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying left no offspring. The second took her and died, leaving no children behind him. The third, likewise, and the seven took her and left no children. Last of all, the woman also died. In the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be of them? For the seven had her as a wife. Jesus answered them, Isn't this because you're mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they will rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But about the dead that they're raised, haven't you read in the book of Moses about the bush, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. You're therefore badly mistaken.
One of the scribes came and heard them questioning together, and knowing that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the greatest of all?" Jesus answered, "The greatest is, 'Hear, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. The second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Truly, teacher, you have said well that he is one, and there's none other but he, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from God's kingdom." No one dared ask him any questions after that. Jesus responded as he taught in the temple, "How is it that the scribes say that Christ is the son of David? For David said himself in the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet.' Therefore David himself calls him Lord, so how can he be his son?" The common people heard him gladly. In his teaching he said to them, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk in long robes and to get greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the best places at feasts, those who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and saw how the multitude cast money into the treasury. Many who were rich cast in much. A poor widow came, and she cast in 2 small brass coins. He called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Most certainly, I tell you, this poor widow gave more than all those who were giving into the treasury. For they all gave out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, gave all that she had to live on." Jesus knows things are heating up and his days on earth are coming to a close, right? And so he's calling people to be all in. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. It's pretty divisive. Not many people want to live that way. But it's also highly inclusive. Really, it's the only thing everybody has an equal opportunity to give. The poor widow gave all she had. And though nobody else noticed, it got the attention of the Son of God. It's easier to be all in when you don't have much to lose. What's keeping you from being all in? That's the Thinking Out Loud thought for today.
You've been listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominy. When you become a patron of Out Loud Bible Project, you help make the Bible accessible for people who desperately need to know they have a role in this conversation with God. To learn more, visit outloudbible.com and click Support This Project. Thanks for listening.